Hello, my name's Linda Thompson. I'm the Clinical Care Group Manager for Integrated Women, Children and Families for Manx Care.
I'm Michelle Moroney. I'm now a retired consultant obstetrician and gynaecologist, but working still within fertility work and pushing forward the women's healthcare strategy and particularly menopause care on the island.
Hi, I'm Pradip Thacker. I'm a paediatrician and clinical director for the care group, supporting the women's health strategy going forward.
Hi, I'm Kate Lancaster. I'm wearing two hats. The first one is I'm a non-executive director of Manx Care, and the second one, I'm the chief executive of the Royal College of Obstetricians and Gynaecologists, and I've been very interested in the development of women's health strategies across the four nations, now five nations.
So, Linda, if we start with you, tell me a bit more about this event and what's prompted it.
In August 2022, myself and Teresa Cope discussed starting the journey of moving towards the women's health strategy, which had been in the process of being adopted by the four nations. With the support of Teresa and the execs and non-exec team members, we started on a journey to see how we could adopt similar strategies and processes and modelling here on the Isle of Man. So today has been a journey over the last 18 months to take us to our first Spotlight on Women's Health Study Day, to raise awareness and basically share with our multi-agency, our multi-professional and our tertiary and our other sectors, to share what the Women's Health Strategy is about, where we aim to go, what we would like to do, what the challenges are along the way, and how we must do it collaboratively. But we must learn from previous experiences. It's not about just success, it's about informing and shaping how we go forward.
What would that look like for Manx Care? What, in, say, 5 years' time, would you be able to look back on and go, yes, that is great, we have made real improvements in this area?
I will just say that we had a survey that went out to island residents in the autumn of last year, and we're still collating the data and information from that survey. Once we have all that together, we will be presenting that and publishing it, and that will agree what our 10-year plan will look like going forward. I must stress, this is not specifically to Manx Care. This is about our partner agencies coming on a journey with us and actually looking at a lifelong journey for girls and women from pubescent all the way through to old age.
So Michelle, if I come to you, you are obviously renowned on the island for your experience within women's health, and what do you think some of the challenges have been up until now in getting diagnoses and getting the right treatment for women?
I think, well, certainly the challenges are that it's accessing the right care at the right place at the right time. There's no doubt about that. And women may not always even want to come forward and go and see their general practitioner. They're too busy. They're looking after their family. They're putting everybody else before their own healthcare needs. So they don't even bother to access help and healthcare in the first place. So I think the challenges are to be able to make, first of all, healthcare easily accessible for women. And secondly, education, that what they've always presumed was just normal for them may well not be normal. They may be struggling with gynecological conditions, they're struggling with menopausal problems, and they just go, well, this is just something I have to put up with. So it's bringing forward that education as well. And then equally the challenge will be that if we can encourage women to come forwards and seek medical advice, it's also to be able to equip those first contact professionals with the tools that they need to be able to give that advice and to listen to what women want.
Where do you even begin trying to do that? How do you even start to try and be having those conversations with women?
Well, that is essentially was the whole ethos around the women's health consultation. It is to ask women, what problems do you have regarding your health, accessing health care, who do you find that you can speak to, are you listened to? Those are the questions that were asked in the consultation document across the now five nations, and it is now looking at what they're asking for and then working out, well, how can we deliver that? And I mean, from the menopause point of view, yes, women want and think that it would be useful to have community menopause hubs to be able to have easy access to information and advice.
And you've been guest speaking today, so can you talk to me a little bit about what it is that you were speaking to the people here about?
So my talk was really, I'm fortunate that I've been able to be involved in the development of the women's health strategies across the four nations. And so it was an absolute delight to be invited here to speak and really sort of inform some of the development of this strategy. And what's particularly impressive in the Isle of Man has been the fact that it's been driven by the operational teams. Linda and her team are enormously passionate. They've been out, they've spoken to the women in the Isle of Man to get their views. When you're developing a national strategy for women, it's really important that it reflects the population needs. And so island health is very different from, say, health in England, for example. And so it's very important in the Isle of Man that the needs of women reflected in this enormous survey that was done are then reflected in the strategy. But huge, huge thanks to Linda and her team who've absolutely driven this piece of work. 51% of the population, they deserve a strategy.
And from your experience, what do you think are some of the things that need to be addressed and some of the areas particularly that crop up for you that there seem to be stumbling blocks around?
Well, there are some themes across the five nations when they've spoken to women. It's principally around women feeling listened to, that their symptoms and their experiences are taken seriously by the medical profession and other clinicians. That's the number one thing. Secondly, it's around access to services and making sure that services are there in an accessible way for them. You know what it's like when you've got a busy life trying to fit in healthcare around childcare, caring for relatives, work, everything else is, you tend to put your needs at the bottom of everybody else's. So there's something really important about making them accessible to women. And so they're the sorts of themes that are coming out, and I don't think that's particularly different on the Isle of Man.
And so the event today, how has that been received so far?
Well, I think you can see by the turnout, but a phenomenal turnout from all sectors, and they're thoroughly enjoying the theme that's been put together with this study day. And we hope to actually replicate this going forward and keep this up. This momentum is rolling now, and I think on the island we need to have this service embedded. We've been listening to feedback as a care group from our users, and we've understood that actually this is such an important part of healthcare provision. 51% of the women who require this service, and we need to optimise it, and we need to go forward with the help of all our partner agencies to embed this within the Isle of Man.
And it sounds so simple, but it really is just conversations, isn't it? And just being able to speak to people, speak to as many as you can, and just try and get, one, that message across, but two, hear what people are saying as well.
Absolutely. I think when you listen to the questions that are being asked by the audiences, these are our service users as well as our staff. So you can gauge by the questions that some of them are fundamental. And so that this is going to inform our service going forward.
What we know about women's health is over the course of their life, a lot of their health needs are fairly predictable. From young age and understanding about sexual and reproductive health, periods, all the rest of it, right through to menopause and beyond. And so there's a duty for health service providers to then try and organise their services in such a way that those predictable women's health needs can be met. And we've heard a lot about that today, and so I'm really excited to see the strategy that comes out of all of this.
And again, as you say, totally predictable. Women have cycles and, as you say, life cycles, and most women will experience those at some point in their life and at particular points in their life. So it should be able to sort of flag those and say, okay, they're coming up to this period in their life, maybe start to prepare them and have those conversations about the next stage, for example.
Absolutely, and underpinning each of those life stages with education so they know what to expect. I mean, that's an awful lot of it, isn't it? And, you know, and actually that starts with the education system and making sure that the curricula in schools really covers women's health properly so that it's not a surprise to girls when periods start. You're going to have 12 periods a year for 40 years. You need to get on board with it. And so there's quite a lot that can be done, not just through the health system, but actually through the whole island government machine, if you like, that can really, really make a huge difference to women's lives.
Speaking of that then, so coming back to you, Michelle, and focusing on menopause, it does seem to be that there has been a real focus on trying to promote what happens during a menopause for women, because it is something that really does take a lot of women by surprise when they start going through it and the effect that it can have on them.
Yes, I think it is quite surprising that there has been an incredible upsurge in awareness of menopause, and that has been brought about over the last few years. But I suppose it's difficult as a clinician who has an interest in menopause to actually appreciate how underinformed women are. And women aren't accessing these days, they're not accessing information through magazines, through newspapers. Everything now does seem to be much more sort of online driven, YouTube driven, and that's where the information needs to be starting to come through for women, because people often are, as you quite rightly say, completely taken by surprise at this terrible change in their lives, and they really have no idea why it's happening. And a day like this, just highlighting problems that can happen, I mean, this will be far-reaching across the island. This in itself will provide education, and people may sit up and listen and say, well, okay, maybe I want to go and find out something else about that. And the other thing that I think is very important about today, it is to try to enthuse and inspire and increase passion and allow that ripple effect to carry on.
Because one of the biggest issues, I assume, with women's health is that it's not one size fits all. Not everyone starts their period at the same time. No two pregnancy is the same. No two people going through the menopause will have the exact same symptoms. So in some ways that must make education a bit of a challenge, because you can't say you are going to go through this at this point. You might have this, you might have that.
Well, yes, it is, but that is going to be the way of it. There's always going to be a distribution of when things will occur. But still, that education can still be given. And I think the most difficult thing is the place and time of giving it within schools. And it is a matter of, there are many parents that feel that their children are too young to be told about sexual activity, sexually transmitted diseases. And I'm not sure that school is the time that you should be educating people about menopause. But there has to be the opportunity and the springboards at the beginning of education for healthcare and developing healthcare, and then for, as you go through your life, have the education later on.
I suppose, Linda, this then comes back to this idea that this has to be multi-agency. This can't just be Manx Care. This has to be across the board.
100%. So health cannot deliver this huge strategy by ourselves. We have to have buy-in, as I say, from our partner agencies, from our politicians, from government, from our public health. Public health have a responsibility to lead on this going forward. And there's lots of representation here today from public health. And I must say that today everybody has worked very inclusively, but we're on the start of a journey which is embryonic, and it's got a much, much, much longer to travel.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Little Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.